T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Royalty inside the Hyatt. College football royalty.
Yes.
Inside the Hyatt. SEC Media Days. We are here in Birmingham. Capital One Orange Bowl Radio Tour presented by Duffy's Sports Grill. And we are expecting this hour Nick Saban to join us. I have on my Instagram, if people want to see it, I Instagrammed this morning before we went on. The building, the entire building is adorned with the SEC logo.
Yeah.
And then early this morning, people started gathering outside because Nick Saban was going to be here today. You know, for SEC Media Days, while we've been here since Monday, the coaches of the particular teams and the players from a particular team, they only show up one day during the Media Days. Today happens to be Alabama and Nick Saban. And people started to gather outside to welcome Coach Saban, and there is a heightened level of security here today. Plenty of police officers that are protecting him everywhere that he goes. Not that he needs protection from Radio Row, but to be quite honest, Radio Row is a scary place. If you're not,
it's not a scary place.
If you haven't been around AM radio for a while, Radio Row can be a little intimidating. So maybe Nick Saban today. But if you want to see some of the sights and sounds of Radio Row, I have it on my Instagram. It's Radio Mark Hockman. I did some video up and down Radio Row, so you can see some of the stations that are here. And you could see the outside of the building and just get a vibe for where we've been since Monday. I'll tell you what we'll do here to start out the 3 o'clock hour. In the last couple of days, Joe Zagacki has joined us in the 3 o'clock hour. I miss Joe.
I miss Joe, too.
Joe was on this morning with Joe Rose on 560 at ACC Media Day.
He doesn't miss us.
He does not miss us.
No.
I can imagine his time on the air with Joe Rose a little different than his time on the air with us.
What, are you talking about not getting made fun of?
Yeah, he just gets to relax a little bit and talk about football. We'll start out the 3 o'clock hour here, I guess, with Alejandro Solana and some headlines.
I do, guys. These headlines.
You do what?
They are brought to.
You do what?
I do have some headlines.
No one was asking if you had headlines. I said, we'll start out this hour with Alejandro Solana and headlines. And you said, I do.
I could have sworn it must have cut out there for a quick second. Because what I heard was, does Alejandro Solana have some headlines?
He's blaming you.
I'm not blaming you.
Tom, our engineer, just looked at us. He goes, is he blaming me?
No, I'm not blaming you.
Alejandro,
I mean, don't forget.
Do you have headlines?
Don't forget, I'm on remote as well, and I'm being talked to by our production crew, Steven, back at the station. So it just cut out for a quick second.
Steven's fault.
All right.
No, it's not Steven's fault.
All right. Ryan McGuire's fault. Let's be honest.
These headlines, they're brought to you by Orion Fuels and Downstairs Convenience Stores. Truly steps beyond convenience. So the Milwaukee Bucks, thanks to a Giannis 50 burger, win the NBA Finals in Game 6. They win 4 straight games in a row. The Suns and 4 guy. He's putting up 4 for how many games Phoenix lost in a row in the NBA Finals.
We lost our bets. We had Milwaukee to win the series in 7 games, so we needed Phoenix to win yesterday. They did not. And then we had last night, if you were listening to the show, we bet largest in-game lead would be over 16.5. And in the second quarter, it was 13.
And who was it? The Bucks missed like two in a row.
Yeah,
it would have been 17.
Milwaukee had a 13-point lead. They had the ball, came down, shot a three, which they missed. That would have made it 16. Came back, got a stop against Phoenix, brought the ball back down, took a basket shot, like a two, which would have put us over the 17.5, missed that, and then Phoenix went on a big run. And so 13 was as close as we got to over 16.5.
Giannis Antetokounmpo, he celebrated the NBA championship today by ordering a 50-piece in honor of his 50 burger in Game 6 at Chick-fil-A. During the Chick-fil-A drive-thru, you can hear the audio or watch the video on his Twitter account.
Yeah, yeah.
How did he wake up for breakfast?
You think he's gone to sleep?
No, I'm saying if you win a championship, don't you go party and have a good time?
That's what I'm not even kidding you. It's what makes him so special and unique to me is, you know, who was it? Was it Dallas in Miami that first year, Solana, where they were all partying all night? You know, all you saw was the nightclub video of Dallas in Miami.
Yeah. They bought like a $50,000 bottle of champagne at Liz.
Yes. And I just, you know, again, not that they didn't party last night. I'm sure they did. But, man, you just, you know, compare and contrast that with Giannis ordering a 50-piece nuggets at the drive-thru, driving his own car. Like, I just love the guy. I just love it.
He needs somebody to teach him how to celebrate. Chick-fil-A?
That's my kind of
be
celebration,
out partying,
Jack.
Man, seeing some wiggles and some shaky
my
booties.
My kind of celebration.
Something.
I'd be hitting Stuckies, and then I'd be hitting Whataburger. And, I would hit the whole
I'd be out till 5 a.m. after losses. Look, guys, we got through this game. Let's go party. Come on, man. You the damn MVP of the finals.
Funny. Somebody suggests via text that I ask Saban if he would clean my flaps if I got morbidly obese.
Please don't.
I have a running a running question with Crowder. Tom, the engineer, looks at me quizzically. Hold on, 305.
It's a 305.
Dale.
God
bless. Dale.
I watch these shows, Tom, like My 600-Pound Life, and I see these people, they get so fat that they can't get out of bed, and it looks somewhat appealing to me to have people bring you food and watch all your TV shows. There's all the streaming services, but the only negative is that your flaps grow over your own skin. Someone needs to pull them up and clean under there so you don't get sores. And I always ask Crowder, would you, you know, my wife obviously would either no longer be with me or she'd have to be traveling for work to make money. And so I ask Crowder all the time, would you come over and clean under my flaps if I was having a painful moment?
Hell no.
And he says, hell no. So maybe I'll ask Saban if I lay that out.
Did they cut out again, Steve?
Yeah, it sounds like they cut out again, man.
Good, because I actually had a take, and Hawk went into his flaps thing there. But regarding the actual ending of the finals yesterday, I was going to interject during the headlines with this point anyways, and I might as well fire this off. It was so anticlimactic what happened yesterday. The Bucks win the NBA Finals, and it was kind of obvious they were going to win, so you did see Giannis trying to hype up the crowd a little there. As they were shooting free throws with just a couple seconds left on the clock. The game's over. Like, Chris Paul, Devin Booker, they know that the game's over. But when the actual buzzer sounds, there's zeros all across the time in the stadium. Like, the fans didn't seem to be as loud as I expected them to. I mean, think about it. This is the first championship now with fans actually allowed in the stadium. And the Bucks in general, like, didn't celebrate. You think back to 06, right? The Miami Heat winning their first ever NBA championship. Dwayne Wade catching the rebound with top hawk and cry. Let me just finish my point here really quickly.
It's so great if you were talking about Tua and his unfair treatment in the media.
Why don't you go back to your bread and butter, baby?
No, but seriously, like, did you guys not feel like the celebration yesterday, the clock strike zero, triple zeros, and, like, the Bucks, it was just so anticlimactic. I remember Dwayne Wade catching the rebound, iconic, first championship in 06, throwing the ball up, James Posey, Antoine Walker running down to the opposite baseline, yelling at the Mavs fans. LeBron James, Dwayne Wade with the clock striking zero, jumping up and down to Power by Kanye West. Like, those are just iconic moments for champions. And yesterday, they win the championship, and, like, the crowd is kind of hype, but not really. And Giannis is – I don't know what Giannis is doing. The only one that was crying was PJ Tucker. Like, it was so anticlimactic, the whole thing. And then the trophy presentation. The crowd, they're just not into it. Hey, Milwaukee, lamest city. Lamest city after what I saw yesterday.
Wow. I know what you're saying. It wasn't like this unbelievable on-court celebration, but are we really, when they had 60,000 people outside, are we really going to declare today Milwaukee the lamest sports city in the nation?
Lamest sports city in the nation. And look, crowded, that's why Giannis had to go to Chick-fil-A, because he couldn't be out at Story until 6, 7 in the morning.
You know what? He might have a point. Everything there closed at midnight. Sure. They had nowhere to go.
Yep.
Wait for Chick-fil-A
on a Tuesday night. On a Tuesday night, nothing's open past 10:30 in Milwaukee. Nothing.
Fair enough.
Yeah. You know what? I do agree with. Inside the arena might have been a little lame.
Yeah.
But they were wide open out there in the parking lot.
I mean, that was as big a public party as you will ever witness.
All right, guys. Tonight, the Marlins will play the Nationals. 7:05 p.m. start time. It's the series finale. The Marlins looking to avoid a sweep. And at 7:30 tonight in Fort Lauderdale, Inter-Miami, they'll play the New England Revolution. Again, 7:30 p.m. start time. Inter-Miami desperately looking for some points here. They're in last place in the conference.
All right. Very good.
Finally, guys, Hawk, you can make sure to call your friends, Jim DeJosephs and Dr. Chuck Metzger. Let them know that they have a Dungeons & Dragons buddy now that they can call to hit up. Vin Diesel. That's right. Vin Diesel is a huge fan of D&D. He's been playing for more than 20 years, and he wrote the foreword to a book called 30 Years of Adventure, A Celebration of Dungeons & Dragons.
That does not surprise me for some reason.
Really?
Because Vin Diesel, really? I think, isn't he kind of like a faux tough guy? Like,
oh, that's for sure.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you know, like that doesn't surprise me. And, yes, my friends, Dr. Metzger and Jim DeJoseph, they love Dungeons & Dragons since their high school days.
It's weird.
And their kids picked it up, and they're proud of them, which is
what's going on.
I don't know. Yeah,
that'd be a faux tough. You'd have to be a grown-up playing Dungeons & Dragons. I don't care what your disposition is. You're grown.
But, like, so Vin Diesel, does he sit down and play Dungeons & Dragons with friends?
Yeah, he must. And you know Vin Diesel, all about family, right? In the Fast and Furious movies. I mean,
no,
Toretto.
I don't know.
All about family. He is all about family.
I think it
translates to real life.
I think I've seen Vin Diesel in one movie. I'm not kidding you. Boiler Room. I don't think I've seen him in it. Oh, that, what, was he in the Guardians of the Galaxy movies or something? Was he in any of the Marvel movies?
No.
No?
That's pretty much it. Fast and Furious and Boiler Room.
Boiler Room. That's the only thing I've ever
seen.
Pitch
Black and all that
never
stuff.
Seen it.
His eyes were glossed.
Nope.
Yeah.
Boiler Room. I believe that's the only. Hold on. Let me look it up real quick here.
But Vin Diesel's
if
a weirdo.
Nick Saban walks over right now, and I'll ask him about Vin Diesel.
Ask him about Dungeons and Dragons.
Oh, that's a
good
question.
No, Hawk. That was a joke.
That's a good question.
Don't embarrass me. I'm terrified of this.
Coach, if I told you I had a couple friends, adults in their 50s, that like Dungeons & Dragons. Vin Diesel.
Yeah, maybe.
No, he was in Guardians of the Galaxy. I was right.
He's
Groot.
He's not in the movie then.
He's Groot. He's the actor that plays Groot.
There's no actor that plays Groot. It's a stick.
Well, he's Groot.
No, it's a stick.
Okay, but that's it. I knew he was in Guardians of the Galaxy. You and Solana poo-pooed it. Like, no. I knew he was in there.
I thought he was the big red guy.
Yes, you did.
I didn't. I've never seen Guardians of the Galaxy, and I didn't say anything.
Lie.
It was Crowder saying no.
Lie. Okay. It's 100% right. Lie. All right. I'm telling you, there is a little hustle bustle coming our way from the Saban posse, so let's wrap this up here just in case he does walk over.
Your weather from the DeMesmin & Dover Accident Attorney Weather Center. Call 24/7 at 866-954-MORE. Still hot as hell in Miami and the rest of South Florida. And that is your weather.
I think it's coming this way.
I think so, too.
I think Nick Saban might be headed this way. Now I'm nervous. Because I am not.
No Dungeons and Dragons.
Okay, I will not insult him. First of all, I am going to ask for UM fans if he does walk over here about UM Alabama. Mm-hmm. First of all, I got to soften him up anyway.
Yeah.
But I am going to try to ask my nonsense food questions, or maybe I'll bring up Buc-ee's. I love that convenience store Buc-ee's. You know what? I'll go there. Like, just I want to see how long I can keep him before he just bolts.
Yeah. Well, if I go to sleep, just know that's my sign to you. If you look over, my eyes are closed.
You've aborted the mission.
Yes, I'm done. I might just fall out the chair.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
By the way, I was wondering, like, you guys free this weekend or next weekend? Like, we should go watch F9. Mm-mm. We should go.
How about FU?
Hawk and Crowder.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
We are back live at SEC Media Days. It is the Capital One Orange Bowl Radio Tour presented by Duffy's Sports Grill, proud sponsor of local youth sports and partner of the Orange Bowl Youth Football Alliance and the Orange Bowl Festival. For more information and to find your favorite Duffy's Sports Grill, you can find them at duffysmvp.com. There is the air of anticipation as Nick Saban is making his way down Radio Row and truly ignoring every radio station. We're told that he's coming to see us, and we'll see if he actually stops or not, or if he walks on into the mall and tries to get some Auntie Anne's pretzels or something. But he may recognize you being a former player of his. But if he does stop by, Joe Zagacki, he begged us, please ask him some UM Alabama stuff. Yeah. So Zagacki will have it for the pregame show on September 4th. I got the email from Joe. Yeah, but I'm going to bug him, too. I want to see if I can get him to, I don't want him to walk away in a huff, but I want to try to ask questions that aren't football related and see maybe if
he swings on you?
Swing on me.
Okay.
Just to see. And here he comes now. You may recognize this guy, Crowder, sitting across from his former head coach.
Yes.
With the Miami Dolphins.
Living legend right
and
here.
And Florida Gator.
And Florida Gator, of course. Nick Saban is with us. So does Crowder make your Mount Rushmore of least favorite players of all time?
No, absolutely not. It was a he was probably a first-round draft pick, and because of his injury issues, we were lucky, very lucky, to be able to draft him in the third round and became immediate starter and was really a good player for us for a couple years and had a great career. So we're happy for him.
Coach, you still running base under roll, double seven, adjust the switch, triple clip, check hands?
Yeah, we're doing all that.
I remember you jammed that into our heads. We can stop anything if y'all learn this damn call. I still remember that call.
And we did okay.
Yeah, we had a good defense. But
that second year, we were like third in the league in defense. If we wouldn't have had the quarterback issues, we'd have been really good.
Yes, sir.
Wait a second. We're talking about the same Crowder here. You're sure he's not on your Mount Rushmore of least favorite players that have ever played under you?
No, absolutely not.
He's not on the Mount Rushmore of players that have played under you, though.
Anybody that can remember that call for 15 years now, right?
Yes, sir.
15 years.
Was he able to produce on that call, though? That's the question.
Yeah, he produced. But the fact that he can remember just shows you how bright and what a good player he was.
Oh, I feel like I'm in an alternate universe here. Nick Saban is with us. The college football kickoff this year is the University of Alabama and the University of Miami. So what worries you about opening the college football season against the Miami Hurricanes?
Well, Miami has a really good team. I think they went 8-3 last year, got a lot of good players coming back, really good quarterback. Manny's done a great job there, and he's a good defensive coach. So this is going to be a very challenging game for us. You know, when you win a national championship, you win because you had a lot of good players, a lot of good leadership, and we lost a lot of those guys, especially on offense. So a lot of opportunity for a lot of young guys, but how they respond early on will really determine, you know, how well we can do against a very good Miami team.
And, Coach, with the turnover, like, you know, you go back to Ruggs and Judy leaving and then Waddle and Devontae step right in, you know, he wins the damn Heisman. Like, do you know if guys are going to be – you know they're going to be good before you see them in a game? Do you have to see a guy with the quarterback situation you're in now, Mac leaving? Do you have to see a guy play before? Because I heard you giving some reporters hell a little earlier about, you know, putting Young on this pedestal already without him playing in the game.
Yeah, well, I think at certain positions, you know, you really like to see guys because they can get – their confidence can be affected so much. You know, quarterback's like a baseball pitcher. You know, you watch a baseball pitcher, some days no hitter, next day he can't get the ball over the plate. And I think quarterback's a lot that way. So if a guy can develop confidence, I think he can play well. I think when you see a wide receiver and the guy's explosive and fast and hard to cover and great hands, you kind of know that guy's time is going to come and that guy is going to have production and be a great player. But in some positions, I like to see guys go out there and do it. You know, offensive line is another area where, you know, guys got to work together. They got to be able to pass pro. They got to know what they're doing because every time they don't block somebody, somebody's going to get blowed up. Mm-hmm. All right, so we're inexperienced in that area too. So hopefully the quarterback will come through for us. We'll be able to build the offensive line. I think we'll be okay from a skill position standpoint. But those are critical positions on offense.
Nick Saban is with us. Do you like opening the college football season against a legendary football program like the University of Miami, especially with the quarterback, a younger quarterback? Do you like the spotlight that comes with that game, or would you rather ramp it up a little more slowly?
Well, I think it depends on the kind of team you have. I think if you have a young team, it's always good to have a game that you can sort of maybe ease your way into and ramp it up against a better opponent. But I think one of the things that's a real benefit of playing a good team early is your players have respect for that team. So the whole off-season program, spring practice, summer conditioning, everything that you do leading up to the season, you have their attention because they know they have to be ready to play in the first game.
And Coach, what are you I say it sound crazy. What are you trying to prove? Like, you're right now, I think you're the best college coach of all time. You've passed Bear and, you know, all the numbers. You have plenty of trophies on the lake house. I've seen all the video. I never got invited to the lake house, Coach. Just want to let you know. I'll give you my number if you want
to. I mean,
you
there's
wanna,
still time to write that wrong,
if
Coach.
If you want a fishing buddy, Coach, you know. But you have trophies everywhere, Coach. You have all these awards, all these accolades. What drives you to get up 5 a.m.? What drives you to still set up defenses, still call base under 077 and just switch triple clip check?
Now you're just showing off.
Well, you know what, though? I think that all of us become very outcome-oriented, especially when you're an athlete, because it's all about winning a game. But I think when you're a coach and you really want to win because that's the competitive part of it, but you get a lot of positive self-gratification from developing, helping people develop, have a better chance to be more successful in life, see them get an education, see them graduate, see them go out and have success, see guys develop a career and be able to play at the next level. And every season and every team's a new challenge. All right, so if you don't think about the outcome and you just think about what do I have to do to get the outcome and you're looking ahead, you see the same challenge this year as you've seen 25 years ago, you know, the first year you were a head coach. Because that's what you have to develop on this team to get these players to play, to develop the chemistry on this team to get. So that challenge is something that, you know, I guess really kind of keeps me going. And the fact that I hate to lose doesn't hurt any.
Oh, I know, Coach. And I wanted to ask you about the NIL stuff, the name, image, and likeness. From we all know what it is. What challenge does that add to you as a head coach?
Well, look, I think name, image, players have always been able to work.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, probably when you were back in Florida, they probably had a summer jobs program and you could have worked, you know, in the summertime if you chose to do that, or you could just work out and try to enhance your career. So players have always been able to work. This is just an opportunity for players to work. Now, when we started giving cost of attendance and guys could go on scholarship in the summertime and go to summer school and we could pay for it, less players worked. Now you're going to be able to do that, and this name, image, and likeness is going to create another opportunity for you to work. But the thing that it's going to create is everything in college football has always been equal and the same. Everybody's scholarship was the same. Everybody got the same amount of money for everything that they did. It's always been that way. It's not going to be that way anymore because some positions and some players are going to have a greater opportunity to create value for their brand than others. So it's not going to be the same. And there's no precedent for how is that going to impact your team because these guys are not as mature. It's that way in pro football. I mean, You know that. I know that. I mean, Aaron Rodgers makes whatever he makes, 20-some million dollars a year, and has all kind of endorsements, and the right guard makes $1 million and has no endorsements. So it's always been that way in pro football, but you got older, more mature guys. And I'm hopeful that college players will be able to be mature enough about this that it won't impact their vision for what they want to accomplish, because developing a career as a football player is still going to be much more valuable than anything that they can do in name, image, and likeness for what you can make playing at the next level.
But you don't think it changes college football dramatically? That was the worry of some people, that somehow this will change the entire landscape of college football.
Well, it's going to change. I don't think it's going to change the entire landscape, but there's a lot of things that we're doing right now that's changing college football. You know, players transferring. I'm being immediately eligible. You know, this whole playoff thing where we're going to end up playing 17 games in a college football season. A lot of things that are changing college football, and what are the consequences of those things really going to be? And I don't think they're all going to be beneficial to the player, which is the most important thing to me. 17 games as a college player is not great for the player. You know, if people manage their rosters and get rid of their worst players so they can get better players to transfer someplace else, that's not good for players either. And we act like it's just freedom to go do what you want to do, but there's consequences for that. I certainly will never do that in our program, penalize a player. When we recruit a player, we're obligated to that player for his entire career, unless he doesn't want it to be that way. But that's not going to be how everybody does it, and that's not going to be good for players.
Nick Saban, is there anything you miss about Miami? This is my first time in Alabama.
Me?
So, besides Crowder, okay. Of course, this is my first time in Alabama, and I love Miami. What I have found in Alabama is I love Buc-ee's. You been to this Buc-ee's gas station thing?
Yeah.
It's good, right?
There's people travel to go to Buc-ee's.
Yeah. No, we did. We went 20 minutes out of the way. So, is there anything? Yeah. When I leave Alabama today, I will miss Buc-ee's. Is there anything specifically you miss about Miami?
Yeah, I mean, look, I really love Miami. What was frustrating to me when we didn't get the quarterback thing solved over the Drew Brees fiasco when I was there, and then, you know, we brought Dante Culpepper in, which is a good player, and his knee was bad, and he couldn't perform, and he couldn't play. It was so disheartening to me because we'd worked so hard to build this team that had a chance to be successful, and we had no quarterback. And because of that, we couldn't have success. And you only have so many windows where you can solve those problems in the NFL because of the salary cap and draft and who's available. People think you can pick who you want to pick in a draft in the NFL. You pick who's available when you pick. All right, that's different. All right, so you can't just readily solve all those problems. So when you have an opportunity to do it and you don't get it done, that's an issue. You know, I love college football, but I love a lot of things about Miami. The people were great. We lived in a great neighborhood in Fort Lauderdale. I really had a lot of great relationships with the players. Jason Taylor is still, you know, somebody that I'm very close to, who's coaching now too. And I don't know if you see Jason down there at St. Thomas. So a lot of good relationships and learned a lot, right, that has helped me be successful here at Alabama. But if you get around Alabama, you'll like Alabama. There's a lot of things to like about Alabama. We got great people
Buc-ee's.
Here.
Can you walk into a Buc-ee's, or you're way too famous that you could never just go to the beef jerky wall and get some jerky?
I don't know. Most of the time when I go in a store, it's not good.
I mean, like even right now, I mean, we're surrounded by security, police officers, just lookers, right? So there's really, if you were to walk in the mall here and go to Auntie Anne's, you just couldn't do it.
Well, I could do it. But when I'm with Miss Terry, she stops and talks to every person she sees. I know that if you stay on the move, people won't stop you. But if you stop, it's like that's an invitation for me to walk up and say, can I get a picture or an autograph? And I'm glad to do that, all right, because I only have a problem when they're not asking, all right? That's the way I look at it, all right?
So if I came back?
But if I'm with Miss Terry and she's stopping and talking to everybody, I'm gonna get it. If I can stay on the move at Bucky's, I'll be fine.
But if I came back to Alabama, and I said, Crowder, let's call Coach Saban and see if he wants to go to Bucky's with us, it would be an ordeal. You'd have to set stuff up in advance. You'd have to call security we couldn't just pick you up in the rental car.
But I wouldn't do that. If I was with you guys, we'd just go. All right, and that would be it. I don't go through all that. I only go through that because they're willing to do it.
So you would just go to Bucky's with us?
Yeah.
All right. Listen, I think we may have a reason to come back to Alabama.
And, Coach, and you're everybody knows your face. Is that worldwide? Like, if you go to California, if you go in, like, people walk up to you everywhere.
Yeah.
And you're cool with it.
Yeah.
On the way, I have to tell you the one story on the way. You bring up Terry. Your beautiful wife, and she's a nice lady. She's made us cookies. I remember her making us cookies. We were in that little bathroom at the Dolphin facility, and I wasn't supposed to be in there. I was supposed to be in meetings, but I was sneaking out playing on my phone, and you caught me. And you were at the urinal, and I walked past, and my only thought, I was like, if I say Terry, he can't be mad at me because he loves his wife. And I said, hey, Coach, how's Terry? And you took a pause, you looked back at me, and you said, she'll be a lot better if you can cover her back on third down. And I thought you were going to look over and give me a smirk, and you just there and looked straight at the wall.
Can you
and
confirm
I walked out
or deny that story?
That's true.
That sounds like you.
On both counts.
That sounds like you. Nick Saban, we are here in Birmingham, SEC Media Days, the 2021 Chick-fil-A kickoff game. Is the University of Alabama and the University of Miami. September 4th, we'll be here before you know it. We appreciate you making some time for us. And if you do want to go to Bucky's later, I am available, and I've got Crowder stories. I'm sure you've got a few yourself.
That's it. I appreciate you guys having me on. Thank you so much.
Nick Saban. Yep. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more Hockman and Crowder after this.
This is the Hock and Crowder Show.
Come on, man. Everybody likes to walk past some crackheads every now and again, don't you?
Hock and Crowder.
All right, we have a lot to unpack after our sit-down there with Nick Saban, because there's so much stuff going on here, and Crowder and I have been doing a post-mortem during the commercial break.
So funny.
Just trying to unpack it all, because to bring you behind the curtain, I mean, we went about 10, 15 minutes with him. We were getting the rap signal from his handlers about 6 minutes in.
Yep.
And we were just forging ahead. And you know that he knows he doesn't want to be here as long as he was here.
15 minutes? Come on, man.
And so when I started asking the Buckies questions and then asking him if he went to Auntie Anne's in the mall here, it was almost like you almost felt like he was being poked with the hot poker when I said the word Bucky's the second time.
Yes.
When I said Auntie Anne's. And so he was like a little on guard, and they were really trying to wrap us up, and I was going to forge ahead. I wanted to talk about that beef jerky ball.
His whole body position changed, his disposition, while he was looking and talking and laughing. Like some of those times, because obviously they couldn't see us on radio, some of those times me and you fell out laughing, he had a stone face.
Stone face.
Just, this isn't funny.
Stone face. Somebody, I'm looking through some of the texts here. I'm 100 miles away, and I am nervous for this.
I was nervous. I was. I don't know why.
Now that Hawk has taken a picture with Nick Saban, can he no longer be buried in a Jewish cemetery?
Are those the rules?
Damn, Saban. We want to hate him, but you can't. He was pretty damn personable.
He's a good guy.
He's a salesman. He's a salesman. Yes. He knows how to sell.
And we talked about it before he came on. He picks and chooses where he wants to be on radio for recruiting purposes.
Hawk scared to ask Coach about 600-pound life. I was.
Yeah.
I was. I just – there was way too much muscle around here for
– Second time you yelled Buckies, I got a little scared for
I did not want to end up on the front page of the Birmingham News. Fantastic job, guys. Great interview. Thank you. Somebody texts in all caps, can I get some jerky?
Call Saban.
Somebody says, awesome, Hawk. You got him to laugh even. Yeah, I didn't think it was like a – it was like an uncomfortable – it was an uncomfortable laugh. I'm telling you, after 6 minutes, he didn't want to be here any longer. We softened him up at the beginning with some college football questions, with some UM Alabama. Somebody says, great way to get the Buckies questions in, Hawk. Do it.
Got
Here's
him
a great one right after the first one. Uh-oh, here it comes.
But you obviously didn't feel that way because you brought it up twice more.
Well, it's funny. Somebody says, you guys killed it. Play it back. Side note, I cringed at the end. The end was, it was, I mean, he really wanted to be out of here.
Yeah.
He really wanted to be out of here. We have, I'm going to tweet this out. So when I tell you that we were surrounded by hundreds of people, not just his security and the police officers, but the radio people on Radio Row, these are all very small market stations, right? Central Arkansas and Shoals, Alabama. And then there's some national, there's SEC TV is here, the SEC network, obviously very big. There's a couple major market stations, you know, a couple Birmingham stations, Mobile, Alabama. But it's mostly small market stations. It's nowhere that Nick Saban is ever going to stop and talk. So while he's sitting here with us, we are being, you know, surrounded by other radio people and producers, and they're clicking pictures, and they're taking video, and some people were showing us pictures. So the guy next to us is Dave Schultz in Mobile. He took some pictures of when Nick Saban walked up and greeted Crowder, and when Nick Saban greeted, and
quote
I say that
unquote.
With air quotes, greeted me. I'm going to tweet this out at Mark Hockman on Twitter. I'm going to tweet this out. This is a tale of two greetings. Crowder got a hug. He got dap.
Yep.
What did he, because he leaned in and was saying something, like, what did he say to you?
Yeah. Oh, no, great to see you. He's like, oh, Channing Crowder, man, great to see you. Glad to see you're doing well. Like, he was personable.
I mean, a hug. Then, I'm telling you, you're going to see this picture when I tweet it out in a second.
Even during the interview, he was like, yeah, draft you in the third round, first round talent.
Right,
like,
he knew.
He remembered me. And
that's the way his brain works, too, though.
And just when you tweet this out, just take it to account. This is 4 seconds apart. As soon as I let his hand go, he walked past. Walked up to you, past you?
This is the most perfect illustration of who Nick Saban is.
Don't do my Nick like that.
He knows Crowder. He gives him a hug. Now, I understand if Nick Saban's walking through the tunnel to get to the field and there's a whole bunch of people lining the sides and he gives the, you know, the half-hearted green, not looking at anybody to get where he's going or whatever. He knows he's sitting down with me. Because I'm with you.
Yes. He knew what was going on.
And so I want to extend my hand. I want it to be a comfortable, cordial interview before I get into the Buckies. And so I extend my hand. Like, you could see me saying, nice to meet you. My name is Mark Hockman. Something along those lines. I'm Mark Hockman.
Yes.
What he heard was... And he didn't. When I tell you didn't, you're going to see the picture in a second.
Yes,
we fell out when we saw these pictures. He didn't look. When I say didn't look in my eyes, he didn't look in my direction.
He slapped your pointer finger.
And I had my hand out to shake his hand, and he grabbed like two fingers. It was almost as if one of his handlers has said to him, that guy is covered in COVID, so be careful.
He didn't even want to look your way.
It was almost like his handler pulled him aside and said, oh, by the way, the guy there in the Marlins hat, patient zero for the Delta virus, Delta variant. That's patient zero We obviously don't want to make him feel uncomfortable, but the less interaction, the best for you.
Hey, coach. Yeah.
So imagine someone trying to shake your hand, but also maintain a 6-foot socially distant presence.
He did a great job.
That's what he did.
That's the king. He social distanced from you.
That's what he did.
You got to send out the picture.
All right, I'm going to tweet that out. Somebody says, Hawk, you must have heard you talking about him. He knows everything. Somebody says, I changed my opinion about Saban after the interview. He sounded like a cool guy today. Good job.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah. You
know, listen, he's done this forever. Mm-hmm. He literally can pick and choose who he goes to talk to here. This isn't a press conference where anyone can ask him a question. He can pick and choose. So
and just think about it. I tell people this, too, about Saban. You know he goes into hundreds of kids' living rooms and convinces their parents to send your son and let me take over where you started the first 18 years.
Right. You've parented. I mean, it happened to you. You've parented all your life. Let me take it from here.
Mm-hmm.
You better be pretty damn personable in order to take someone's child.
If you talk to my mom about Nick Saban right now, she has nothing bad to say about him. Mm-hmm. He was at LSU at the time recruiting me. But, yeah, she's surprised when people have a problem with Saban.
I am going to tweet out the picture here in a moment. This, to me, is the greatest graphic representation. It actually is almost before and after COVID. How we greeted people before COVID, how we greet people now.
It's so funny. I'm sorry just for cackling, I guess, but I've seen these pictures for a couple minutes now.
All right, I'm going to tweet it out, at Mark Hockman. You will see it. The 4 o'clock hour is on the way here from SEC Media Days in Birmingham, Alabama.
Unfortunately, this is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
I think the people that get the Chick-fil-A sandwich with the pickles are psycho killers.
Hawk and Crowder.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s?
It's better over here.
Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.